Blog Talk Radio.
Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we're your hosts this morning. Tuesday, the day before the 4th of July. Are you guys off today? Having a good time preparing for the holiday? Good morning, Dr. Reggie.
Good morning, Cynthia.
How are you this morning?
I feel much, much better than yesterday.
Oh, I know. I felt so bad, but you were such a trooper to hang in here with us yesterday.
Thank you. I'm
glad you're feeling better today.
I really am.
It's not easy when you can't have your breakfast in the morning, huh?
Oh, I know.
Doesn't start the day out right. You're such a, you love breakfast. That's your favorite meal.
It really is my favorite meal.
Well, this morning, you know, this week I wanted to focus on that power that is within you, because it is your authority. I mean, it gives you authority. It solves every problem you possibly can have. It manifests the things that you desire. All the power is within you. And so I'm taking from different selections, different books that Dr. Reggie and I have read over the years to lay this foundation of your authentic power. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our morning prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning.
Mm-hmm. I say good morning to everybody and all nature and all beings and all those who are listening. Good morning. Good morning. God morning. Let us recognize the God within and the power that we have. We are magnificent creations of the Most High, the one energy of love and infinite power. And I salute you in the name of that energy, in yourselves and in ourselves, and to everyone individually. What a great gift to have life this morning. What a great gift to breathe and to feel and to know and to have that inner power. Thank you, God, for giving us that. Thank you that we're able to wake up again and resurrect for a brand new morning under a brand new sky after resting the night before and feeling this energy and knowing that you provide this wonderful respite for us and this wonderful retreat, and that at any time that we have any problems, we can go within and solve those problems. I thank you for the energy of the 4th of July, our independence, both spiritually and physically as a nation and as people. I ask that you awaken us always to remember that there's only one source and one power in the universe and in my life, and that's you, and you're always with us. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Today's lesson is called Bondage or Liberty, Which? And it is actually the first lesson in Emily Cady's book, Lessons in Truth. This was written in 1903. You know, I marvel at how much is available to us now. She opens with Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Every man believes himself to be in bondage to the flesh and to the things of the flesh. All suffering is the result of this belief. The history of the children of Israel coming out of their long bondage in Egypt is descriptive of the human soul or consciousness growing up out of the animal or the sense part of man and into the spiritual part. How many of you realize that? What she's saying is that whole story of the Israelites wandering around in the desert was about their spiritual growth, their growth in their consciousness, becoming aware of that divinity which is within them. Then the Lord said, and this is speaking to Moses, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. And indeed, I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so these words express exactly the attitude of the Creator toward His highest creation, which is you. So today and all the days, He has been saying to us, we are His children. He's been saying, I have surely seen the affliction of you who are in Egypt, which equals and means you who are in darkness of ignorance. And I have heard your cry by reason of your taskmasters, which is what? Your sorrow, your sickness, your poverty. Aren't those the things that we complain about in life? How miserable we are. And I am, which means not I will, but I am now. And I am come down to deliver you out of all of this suffering and to bring you up into a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with good things. So it may or it may not be here in this phase of life, but sometime, somewhere, every human being must come to himself, having tired of eating husk. He will get up and go to my Father, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. Now, this does not mean that God is a stern autocrat by reason of supreme power that compels man to bow to him. It is rather an expression of the order of divine law, the law of all love, of all good. Man, who is at first living in the selfish animal part of himself, will grow up through various stages and by various processes to the divine or spiritual understanding, where he knows that he is one with the Father, and wherein he is free from all suffering, because he has a conscious dominion over all things. And somewhere on this journey, the human consciousness or the intellect comes to a place where it gladly bows to its spiritual self and confesses that this spiritual self, its Christ, is the highest and is Lord. That means that divinity that is within you. You are tired of trying to make things work. You are tired of being in relationships that don't work. You are looking for an answer. You know that there's something else. You sit in church and you hear these people preaching at you, but you're saying there's more. What is it? And you're seeking everything outside of you and afraid to enter that secret place within you. The answer is within you. When you find that it is inside of you, that Christ energy, that divine energy is inside of you, here and forever after. There is not the sense of bondage, but of joyful freedom. And your heart cries out, the Lord is King. Everyone must sooner or later come to this point of experience. And as we learned in oneness, they are very patient. God is very patient. You are an eternal being. You have all of eternity to get it. So you may come in on Circles of Prosperity looking to talk about the law of attraction or how do I get my stuff, and you hear me talking about the divine power within you, and you hear me talking about Christ and God, and you hang up your phone. I don't want to hear that stuff. That's okay. Because sometime, somewhere, you're going to have to hear that stuff, whether it's this lifetime or another. And I'm okay with that. I love you anyway. But I want to awaken you today. Why wait? You and I have already come to ourselves. If you're on Circles of Prosperity, you're already seeking this. You already know. And you have become conscious of an oppressive bondage. We have arisen and set out on the journey from Egypt to that land of liberty. And now we cannot turn back if we would. Once you taste the truth, you can't go back. Once you taste the truth, you cannot go back. It's an addiction. Though possibly there will come times to each of us before we reach that land of milk and honey, which is the time of full deliverance out of our sorrows and out of our troubles, when we shall come into a deep wilderness or against a seemingly impassable Red Sea, when our courage will seem to fail. Yet God says to each one of us, as Moses said to the trembling children of Israel, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. How many of you, when you are in the midst of a financial trouble, can say, you know what, I can't wait to see how God fixes this? That, you know, that I've shared that with you. When I get in the middle of where my bank account is far less than what is going out, I said, I can't wait to see how this is going to clear itself. How that, I am faithful in the divinity in me. I know that everything is handled. Trust and trust. Have faith and faith. Because each man must sooner or later learn to stand alone with his God. That means you have to stand alone in your truth. I can't do this work for you. I can talk to you about it, but you're the one that has to make the shift in consciousness. Nothing else will ever make you master of your own destiny until you stand in your truth, knowing your divinity. There is in your own indwelling Lord all the life and health, all the strength and peace and joy, all the wisdom and support that you can ever need or ever desire. No one can give to you as can this indwelling divinity that resides within you. He is the spring of all joy and comfort and power. So hitherto we have believed that we have helped and that we are comforted by others, that we receive joy from outside circumstances and surroundings. But it is not so. All joy and strength and good spring up from a fountain within your own being. And if we only knew this truth, we should know that because God is in us, the fountain out of which springs forth all good, nothing that anyone does, nothing that anyone says or fails to do or to say can take away our joy and our good. So someone has said, our liberty comes from an understanding of the mind and the thoughts of God towards us. But does God regard man as his servant or as his child? And most of us have believed ourselves not only the slaves of circumstances, but also at the best, the servants of the Most High. And neither belief is true. But it is time for us to awake to right thoughts, to know that we are not servants, but children. And if children, then we must be heirs. But we're heirs to what? And why heirs to all wisdom, so that we need not, through any lack of wisdom, make mistakes? We're heirs to all love, so that we need no fear or envy or jealousy. We are heirs to all strength, all life, all power, all good. Breathe. Breathe. The human intelligence is so accustomed to the sound of words heard from the time you were a child that often they convey to it no real meaning. So, do you stop to think really, to comprehend what it means to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ? Take a deep breath. It means that all that God is and has in reality is in us. We are his only heirs if we only know how to claim our inheritance. And this claiming of our rightful inheritance, the inheritance that God wants us to have in our daily life, is just what we are learning how to do in these simple talks. Paul said, truly, heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. And so with us. While we are minors, or while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might perceive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. So it is through Christ, this indwelling Christ, that we are to receive all that God has in us, as much or as little as we can dare to claim. And that's such a powerful statement right there. To as much or as little as we can dare to claim. As we can or as we dare to claim. Meaning that it is your consciousness that places the limitations on anything that you receive. That's why I say when you are asking for things, don't place a limitation on it. And the bottom line, if you don't believe that you can really receive it, it's not going to manifest because it's based on your belief. So no matter with what object you first started out to seek truth, it was in reality because it was God's fullness of time. And so here's the bottom line. If you came to Circles of Prosperity looking for your stuff, that's okay. Because really and truthfully, you were looking for God. You were looking for your divine power. It is time for you to arise and begin to claim your inheritance. That's what you were looking for. You were no longer to be satisfied with or under bondage to the elements of the world, sick and tired of being miserable. So think of it. God's fullness of time now for you to be free, to have dominion over all things material, your stuff. To be no longer bond servant, being in debt, owing everybody, but a son in possession of your inheritance. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. We have come to a place now where our search for truth must no longer be for the rewards. It must no longer be our seeking a creed to follow, but it must be our living a life. Dr. Reggie says, listen, if I could talk all day long, and I will continue to repeat these lessons over and over, because if you are not living it, you don't know it. And I know the things that I'm teaching you right now today, you've heard in some form or another. But we quickly forget. You hang up the phone, I walk out the door, and as soon as the traffic gets a little crazy, you move into a whole nother consciousness. As soon as you walk through the door at work, you forget all about this stuff. Let me bless you this morning. Today you will walk in the door at work and you will remember that you are a powerful being. You are an heir to the throne. There's a divine power running through you. God is in you. You are divine and powerful and speak with all authority. Today you will live it. So we have come to a place now in these simple lessons that we shall take only the first steps out of the Egyptian bondage of selfishness and lust and sorrow toward the land of liberty where perfect love and all good reign. Every right thought that we think, our every unselfish word or action is bound by immutable laws to be fraught with good results. But in our walk, we must learn to lose sight of results that are the loaves and the fish. We must rather seek to be the truth consciously, to be love, to be wisdom, to be life, as we really are unconsciously. And let us let these results take care of themselves. What is this lesson repeating? That we need to be in the now. We need to be in the present. We need to be first cause. Why? Our thoughts create the end results. So we need to clean up the thoughts. Every man must take time daily for quiet and meditation. In daily meditation lies the secret of power. No one can grow in either spiritual knowledge or power without it. I run my mouth all day long. When I'm not running my mouth, my mind is moving all day long, sometimes all night long. I have to work hard to quiet myself. But I know you guys are better than me. I know you are. So I'm asking you to practice the presence of God, just as you would practice playing the piano. Because no one would ever dream of becoming a master in music except by spending some time daily alone with music. Daily meditation alone with God focuses that divine presence within us, and it brings it to our consciousness. Paul told us to pray without ceasing. And that scripture for so many years troubled me because I didn't know how I could pray 24/7. But if you live your life moment to moment and you're grateful for every moment, you're praying without ceasing. But we spend a lot of that creative power. Understand that those thoughts are power. Worrying about something that may happen, talking about what could happen, or talking about what happened. Girl, let me tell you what happened at work today. When you're in the presence of people like that, you have to shut it down. When people start talking to me like that, and some of you may know, you've called me on the phone and start ranting, and I'll say, you know, I see your situation completely resolved. Everyone is joyous and happy. Oh my goodness, the success is all around you. I just start prophesying. I shut it down. Can you be that strong with your friends and shut them down? Shift that energy. So listen, you may be so busy with the doing, the outgoing of love to help others, which is unselfish and godlike as far as it goes, that you find no time to go apart. But the command, or rather the invitation, is to come away by yourselves and rest a while. And it is the only way in which you will ever gain definite knowledge and true wisdom and newness of experience and steadiness of purpose, or the power to meet the unknown, which must come into all daily life. Doing is secondary to being. So when we are consciously the truth, it will radiate from us and accomplish the works without our ever running to and fro. If you have no time for this quiet meditation, make time. Take time. Watch carefully, and you will find that there are some things, even in the active, unselfish doing, that would be better left undone than that you should neglect regular meditation. And you will find that some time is spent every day in idle conversation with people who just run in for a few moments to be entertained. If you can help such people, well, that's good. But if not, gather yourself together and do not waste a moment idly diffusing and dissipating yourself to gratify their idleness. You have no idea what you lose by it. And isn't that what I just said to you? When they want to come and gossip, they're dissipating their power. And because you're in the presence and participating, you're dissipating your power. I'm telling you, the moment that you wake up to the reality that your words and your thoughts are creating your experience and that that is your power source, I mean, you have a nuclear power plant inside of you. You can't run around putting out radiation, you know, and expending that power with idle gossip. You preserve it. It's like gold. So, when you withdraw from the world for meditation, let it not be to think of yourself or your failures, but invariably to get all your thoughts centered on God and on your relation to the creator and upholder of the universe. Tapping into the power, to the creator of the universe, and it is inside of you. Let all the little annoying cares and all your little anxieties go for a while, and by effort, if need be, turn your thoughts away from them to some of the simple words of the Nazarene, she's referring to Jesus, or the psalmist, and think of some truth statement, be it ever so simple. And that's what I go into meditation and I say, be still and know that I am God. And I'm telling you, if you just sit in your car before you step foot out to go into work today, take a deep breath in and meditate on that scripture. Be still and know that I am God. No person, unless he has practiced it, can know how it quiets all physical nervousness, all fear, all oversensitiveness, all the little raspings of everyday life. Just this hour of calm, quiet waiting alone with God. Never let it be an hour of bondage, but always one of restfulness. Some, having realized the calm and the power that come of daily meditation, have made the mistake of drawing themselves from the world that they may give their entire time to meditation. And this is asceticism, which is neither wise nor profitable. The Nazarene, who is our noblest type of perfect life, went daily apart from the world, only that he might come again into it with renewed spiritual power. This is how you regenerate. And so we go apart into the stillness of divine presence, that we may come forth into the world of everyday life with new inspiration and increased courage and power for activity and for overcoming. We talk to God. That is prayer. When God talks to us, it's inspiration. Wow. We go apart to get still that new life and new inspiration and new power of thought new supply from the fountainhead may flow in, and then we come forth to shed it on those around us, that they too may be lifted up. Inharmony cannot remain in any home where even one member of the family daily practices this hour of the presence of God. And so surely does the renewed infilling of the heart by peace and harmony result in the continual outgoing of peace and harmony into the entire surrounding. Again, in this new way we have undertaken, this living of life of spirit instead of the old self, we need to seek always to have more and more of the Christ spirit of meekness and love incorporated into our daily life. Now, meekness does not mean servility, but it means a spirit that could stand before a pilot of false accusation and say nothing. What's the truth principle here? Not having to be right. Isn't that what we learned in oneness? There's no need for us to fight to be right. She poetically says, if you can stand before Pilate with all these false accusations and say absolutely nothing, no one else is so grand, so godlike as he who, because he knows the truth of being, can stand meekly and unperturbed before the false accusations of human mind. I'm going to tell you, I'd have to work at that one. I'm being honest, okay? There are moments when I take a deep breath and I go, okay, everything is in divine order. And right after that is, I can't believe this is happening to me. This is awful. What are they talking about? I mean, I go, and I may not say it out of my mouth, but I'm having the thought, and which is more powerful, really? The thought, isn't it? I've learned to bridle my tongue, but I still have the thoughts. I haven't bridled the thoughts yet. I'm telling the truth about my weakness. But I'm working on it. I'm working to live it. And there are moments when I actually do. And I'm grateful. We must forgive as we would be forgiven, because to forgive does not simply mean to arrive at a place of indifference to those who do personal injury to us. It means far more than this, because to forgive is to give for, to give some actual definite good in return for evil given. One may say, I have no one to forgive. I have not a personal enemy in the world. And yet, if under any circumstances, any kind of a served him right thought springs up within you over anything that any of God's children may do or suffer, you have not yet learned how to forgive. The very pain that you suffer, the very failure to demonstrate over some matter that touches your own life deeply, may rest upon just this spirit of unforgiveness that you harbor toward the world in general. So put it away with resolution. And you know, this is the one element in this walk on this spiritual journey that is so deceitful. It hides. Our unforgiveness hides in the little crevices of our soul. And we have to clean it out. But it is so deceptful. You really have to seek it out. Do not be under bondage to false beliefs about your circumstances or your environment. God is in everything that happens to you. There are no second causes. Whoa. What does that mean? Let's break it down. I'm going to break it down for you. God is where? Up in the sky or in you? God is in you. God is first cause. God is in you. God is first cause. Does that equally mean that you are first cause? It's not what's going on outside. I keep telling you that. Don't pay attention to the physical world. It's like in The Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain. The curtain, the Oz represents your creation. The man behind the curtain is you creating this false reality. For Dorothy to get home, where does she have to go? Inside. The good witch says to her, you've had the ability to go home all along because the power is within you. And what does she have to say? She had to have a mantra. And what was her mantra? There's no place like home. And when she starts saying that, she started believing that. She transformed her thoughts out of the fear of all this unknown crap she was dealing with witches and flying monkeys and wizards and, munchkins, all of that drama. She went inside. There's no place like home. I love Aunt Emma. I'm grateful that she took me in to raise me. I love the pigs. I love the chickens. She faced every fear only to come back within herself to say there's no place like home and transformed her thoughts and was delivered out of her fear. You are first cause. And the question today, the lesson today is, are you creating bondage for your life? Or are you setting yourself free and liberating yourself? Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer?
Father, what a beautiful lesson. A dynamic lesson in truth. And we thank you for this wonderful impartation of knowledge and wisdom delivered through Cynthia by the Holy Spirit. I hope that everyone gets this message. We are no longer bond people ever in mind or thought or deed. We are free in the spirit of energy of God. In you, we walk, live, move, and have our being. We are being divine beings on this planet, as we see each other as sacred creations. Let's walk in the power that we have, in the love that we have, with wisdom every day, not just this day, but every single day, with gratitude. I believe it is so, and so it is.
Wow, and so it is. Oh, my God. How much work? Wow, I've come a long way, but I still have work to do. I promise I'm going to pray. And take a. I love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful.